This is text for making audiobook on The Sources Speak, a documentary report of interstellar communication by radio telegraphy by George Hunt Williamson. Author of Our Secret Places of the Lion, A Other Tongue, A Other Flesh, A Road in the Sky. Neville Spearman, A. London, 1963. Introduction to the revised edition. Behold, a fairer time is with you than any men have dreamed of. Behold, there is gladness again in the heavens when a host not of earth is seen of all shepherds. High in open heavens, a new host rusheth unto you, it singeth of beauties whose eagerness greeteth you. There is a new trumpet and an excellent tongue to voice it. There is a new paean and a stronger throat to roll it. There is a high summoning and yet a new joy that man perceiveth to surfeit the threats to darkened infinities. These things a new host voiceth, and their silver hath a trade stamp that rebuketh mana TMS incredulence. A from of the Golden Scripts. Introduction. In the first edition of this book, published in America in 1954, the radio operator who received signals from space remained anonymous. He was referred to as Mr. AOR, a radioman. Since his first experiments, many other operators have been inspired to attempt radio contact with the intelligence behind the UFO. In 1955, a Canadian official wrote to me and informed me that Canadian radio operators had successfully communicated with the same space group that had originally contacted Mr. R in Arizona. The radio messages are printed in a small capital letters for easy identification. In some cases, the messages were in a code not understood by the radio operator or witnesses present. Therefore, they are reproduced exactly as received. Some of these unknown messages seem to be part of a two-way communication between spaceships, others are nothing more than reports between very earthly ships at sea. In this edition, Mr. R is revealed as Mr. Lyman H. Streeter, W70JQ, a radio operator for the Santa Fe Railroad. Photographs of his home and radio ham shack in Winslow are reproduced here for the first time. This edition is enlarged with the addition of the chapter, A Mr. RTMS Secret, A and the chapter, A Cosmic Rays and a Baby Sunday. At the end of this edition, you will find the Merrant Program Radio Telegraph Procedure Sheet, authorized by the Secretary of the Navy, USA. This is the first time it has been copied or published anywhere, since the United States wants apparently to keep knowledge of Merrant from private citizens. The program is used by USA and Canadian merchant vessels, coastwise, AE for early warning in defense of the North American continent. The radio telegraph sheet is to be posted in the radio room and on the bridge of every ship. It bears the designation, OPNAVA 94P3B. There is a similar sheet, OPNAVA 94P3A, that is used for radio telephone procedure. The reader will notice the statement, A report immediately all airborne and waterborne objects which appear to be hostile, suspicious or are unidentified. The perfect drawing of an UFO is interesting. The American government is aware that UFOs exist, proven by recent statements in the House of Representatives. A how much they know about them is another matter. Recently, a well-known AO-sorcerer author wrote her book titled A Flying Saucer's Farewell. I rather doubt the idea that UFOs have gone home again. They have been surveying us for thousands of years and they will not leave until their program is culminated. Farewell, indeed. They are still being seen daily all over the world. The little group of researchers in Arizona in 1952 opened the way for radio contact with space. When will the governments of the world continue the pioneering effort? Only time will tell, and there is no TMT too much of that left. Next headline, 1, Prologue. This documentary report on communication with spacecraft in the Earth's TMS atmosphere covers the period from the 2nd of August 1952 until February 1953. Communication was also established with several planets in our own solar system and with spacecraft in our atmosphere from other solar systems. For the most part, all messages were received in international Morse code through radio telegraphy. There was one instance, where radio telephony was employed by the spacecraft intelligences. The egotistical idea that our puny Earth is the hub of the universe should have died out with Ptolemaic or Earth-center theory. If we believe in infinity, then there must be billions upon billions of Earths and solar systems. It can be concluded by reason alone that other planets, many exceeding this Earth in magnitude, are not vacant masses, created only to be borne along and revolve around the Sun, and shine just for the pleasure of men on Earth. The Creator has created the universe for no other end than that the human race may exist. Wherever there is an Earth, there are or will be men. Science knows that there are at least 1 million other planetary systems in our own Milky Way galaxy. A lot of room for a lot of people. Spectroscopic analysis, and our own misconceptions and conceit are the only factors against life on other worlds. We take intense delight in thinking of ourselves as lords of creation and in some cases, even deny the Creator himself. Our egotism chokes and blinds us to reality and we deny what we know in our heart to be true. The spectroscope is inaccurate and this fact has been known and proven many times. The great observatories of our world, dedicated to scientific truth, know that the other planets are inhabited by men and they know what the flying saucers are, too. We are not the only ones who have been fortunate enough to make contact with the saucer intelligences. There are many other devoted and sincere workers throughout the world who are receiving messages by radio telegraphy and other methods. The valuable information in their possession is almost identical with ours in every case. These messages constitute a warning to men on the planet of the third orbit or Earth. There is no TMT any threat of invasion, but as a father warns a child of danger, these people who are wiser than we, are telling us we have already done untold damage to our world through the use of atomic energy. Perhaps it would be more accurate to say, the misuse of that energy. The spacecraft intelligences know exactly what our insane experimentation has done in the past and they know the prevailing conditions on Earth at this time. Look at the increase in tidal waves, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, plane crashes, sea disasters, the strange worldwide weather, and the recent floods in Great Britain, Belgium and the Netherlands. We have but to look about us and we immediately know what we have done. It is realized that many will not believe this report and will therefore reject it. But, there will be many more who will believe and who will accept its message and attempt to warn the world. We are not trying to prove anything to anyone. We have received this information from a great and noble people, and it is our duty to give it to our fellow men in truth. Read the following account with an open mind. Think about it seriously, for it is a message in a time of world unrest. This work is dedicated to the brotherhood of man in answer to the desperate need of a stricken world. In profound humility we thank those who have come a great distance to aid us at this time. Those who desire and seek truth have called this work forth, and for them it was recorded. George Hunt Williamson, Prescott, Arizona, the 15th of February 1953. Ancient records show beyond the shadow of a doubt that the saucers have been here for centuries. When radio was developed on the Earth, things began to happen. The first report was made by the father of wireless himself, Marconi. In September 1921, J. H. Macbeth, London manager of the Marconi Wireless Telegraph Company, arrived in New York and told astonished reporters that Marconi believed he had intercepted messages from Mars or some point in outer space. The signals, Macbeth said, had been received while Marconi was on his yacht in the Mediterranean conducting atmospheric experiments with wireless. Magnetic wavelengths high in the meter band had been picked up, although the maximum length of Earth-produced waves at that time was 14,000 meters. The theory that the waves were produced by electrical disturbances was disproved by the regularity of the impulses. Although the impulses apparently consisted of a code, the only signal similar to Earth codes was one resembling the letter V in the Marconi code. Marconi's TMS experiment is interesting because he, too, received the strange V. In almost all of the radio contacts made by Mr. R, this letter was frequently given. In the following years, as radio was developed, a number of interesting discoveries were made. L. W. Chubb, director of research for the Westinghouse Electric Company, in announcing the perfection of beam radio transmission, stated that if communications with Mars was ever established, it would have to be with ultra-short waves directed like a beam of light in order to penetrate the atmospheric layers above the Earth's TMS surface. Ultra-short waves are the nearest approach of radio waves to regular light waves. The Heaviside Kenley layer is about 70 miles above the surface. At double that height is the Appleton layer. These are layers of ionized gas that reflect radio waves. The Heaviside Kenley layer reflects medium waves and the Appleton layer the short waves. Beam transmission experiments, however, were made by the Danish expert, Hals, and two Scandinavian scientists, Stormer and Peterson, and they found that certain short waves penetrate both layers and travel far out into space. Their signal echoes arrived from 3 to 30 seconds after transmission. Since the velocity of radio waves is the same as light, 186,000 miles per second, now known to be faster, it was obvious that the ALASA or bodies that reflected these signals were located at from 280,000 to 2,800,000 miles from the Earth. Apparently even these ALASA far out into space could be penetrated by a beamed wave approaching a regular light wave which passes through all ionized barriers. Plans for a regular light beam signal were made by Harry Price, director of the National Laboratory of Psychical Research in London in 1930, but the project was abandoned due to insufficient funds. The site selected was the summit of Jungfraujoch in the Bernese Oberland, 11,000 feet above sea level. 10 tons of magnesium was to be ignited in oxygen in the focus of reflectors, and the beam directed on the snowfields of the Martian pole. This colossal flare, it was believed, would certainly bring a response if there were intelligent beings on the mystery planet. On the night of the 22nd of August 1924, the planet Mars approached her within 34.5 million miles of the Earth. Radio silence prevailed from the broadcasting stations and scientists listened for a possible message from across space. Station WER at Newark, New Jersey, was the first listening post to report. Other stations followed. And in Washington, D.C., a photographic film record of the impulses was being made which has never been understood. Plans for the experiment had been carefully laid. Dr. David Todd, Professor Emeritus of Astronomy at Amherst College, was the organizer of the International Air Listening INA test. At Dr. Todd's TMS suggestion, the United States government, through channels of diplomacy, requested that all countries with high-power transmitters silence their stations for 5 minutes every hour from 11:50 p.m., 21 August to 11:50 p.m., 23 August. C. Francis Jenkins, of Washington, D.C., had only recently invented a radio photo message continuous recording machine, and he was asked by Dr. Todd to take a record of any signals received during the experiment. The recording device was attached to a receiving set adjusted to a wavelength of 6,000 meters. Incoming signals caused flashes of light which were printed on the film by an instrument passing over its surface from side to side. The film was in the form of a roll tape, 30 feet long and 6 inches wide, and it was slowly unwound under the instrument and light bulb which responded to the transmitted sounds. The Jenkins device was in operation for a period of about 30 hours during all moments of silence while Mars was closest to the Earth. Then the film was developed, and on 27 August, the astonished experimenters called in newspaper reporters. The film disclosed in black on white a fairly regular arrangement of dots and dashes along one side, but on the other side, at almost evenly spaced intervals, were curiously jumbled groups each taking the form of a crudely drawn human face. The inventor did not think that Mars was the cause of the phenomenon, but he said, "The film shows a repetition at intervals of about a half hour of what appears to be a Mars TMS face, and it is TMS a freak which we cannot TMT explain." Although admitting that he was at a loss to explain its significance, Dr. Todd took a more serious view. He said, "We now have a permanent record which can be studied, and who knows until we have studied it, just what these signals may have been." Army code experts worked on the film for some weeks without reaching any decisions, and a copy of the film was given to the radio division of the Bureau of Standards. The film is the Today, and it is claimed it has never been understood. It seems the significance of the human face is obvious, taking for granted it did come from somewhere in outer space. A crudely drawn human face would be a calling card of the human race anywhere. The film had only deepened the mystery of the dots and dashes reported heard by widely separated operators of powerful stations. News dispatches of 23 August announced that R. Elpertl, chief engineer of Station WER, Newark, New Jersey, between 7:30 and 10 p.m. on the preceding evening, received a series of dots and dashes that belonged neither to the Morse nor continental codes. The signals were steadily repeated. After hours of study, the engineer decided that the word being transmitted was UNSA. The word has no meaning in the languages of Earth. The word UNSA reminds us again of our radio experiments. You will note later that we received the letters EU. It is possible that there is some connection. Is our EU really just a part of UNSA? An attempt to contact Mars by radio was made in October 1928, by Mansfield Robinson, a London lawyer, through the Rugby station in England. The message was sent on an 18,700-meter wavelength, and it was hoped that some sort of response might be heard. A few minutes after Robinson's TMS message went out through space, Professor A.M. Lowe, the famous English scientist who was listening in, received a series of signals on his radio. He said, "Ayo, it was a mysterious message, but it is hardly likely that it could have come from Mars. However, I must confess that I do not know who sent it. It was a series of dots and dashes. A here was a group attempting radio contact with Mars, yet when they received a reply they refused to accept the obvious. That is as stupid as deliberately going to the telephone, dialing a certain number, and when the party answers, saying to him, 'Ao Kana TMT understand you, but you could not TMT be my party anyway.'" A strange things were happening amongst the amateur radio men, too. In July of 1950, Byron Goodman, W1DX, assistant technical editor of QST, official organ of the American Radio Relay League, Incorporated and the International Amateur Radio Union, wrote an article entitled, "Ao the Loneliest Ham in the World." This article appeared in QST. Mr. Goodman's TMS strange account and experience follows. It was a good convention, although the rains may have held down the attendance a little. At the DX meeting I mentioned how at League headquarters we often enjoy the confidences of foreign hams who are forced to operate undercover, and how these operators in the less AOE-like countries really have a tough time of it. It just happens to be one of the interesting sidelights to working at the League, and IATM have told about it lots of times, without giving away any calls, of course. The wind-up banquet was over early, and I figured it was a good chance to catch up on my sleep. But just as I got to my room the phone rang, and a voice at the other end asked if he could come up and talk a little DX. "Well, no matter how tired you are you don't need a TMT pass up something like that," so I told him, "Ao sure. Come on up." AEATMD put my guest in his 58 TMS, but of course you never know. He told me his call, which did not TMT ring any bells, and his name. He took his with soda, and then announced, "Ao boy, IATM have worked more DX than anyone else in the world. Ao, brother." I thought. A crackpot. I know W1FH and a few of the others, and this guy was not TMT one of them. "Ao donya TMT follow you, Mike," I said. "Ao U1FH has the most confirmed, and there are a few others right on his tail. How many have you got?" "Ao if you mean countries," he said. "Ao donya TMT have any?" "IATMM talking about Arella DX. I have to tell someone or IATMLL bust. I figure I can talk to you because you know how to keep a confidence. Ao, you can trust me," I said, knowing I had about 40 pounds and a few years on him. And I was closer to the door. "Ao, what do you call Arella DX?" He sipped his drink and looked straight at me. He did not TMT look like a nut. His eyes were clear without the glitter, And he was not TMT, a nervous type. AO planets, A, he said quietly. AO we hadn't worked four of them. A my first reaction was to gag it and ask if he had the QSLs, but then I thought better of it. AO what makes you think ATMLL believe that, or even think it RTMS funny? A I asked. AO look, it RTMS early, A he replied. AO come on out to the shack and ATMLL show you. The Eastern train goes out at 9 a.m. and ATMLL bring you back before midnight. Would TMLL get your beauty sleep? AE ATMM a sucker for any new angle, so I went. He briefed me while I watched his Buick TMS headlights take us through town and out the highway. AO got interested in 5 meters when hams were debasing tubes to get on 20 comu A, he said. AO that a TMS a long time ago, and I had na TMT had my ticket very long. There was na TMT a soul around here on 5, but I did na TMT know enough to realize there ain't TMT a lot of fellows on across the country. After all, QST reported activity the .AO that was before my time, AI explained. AO donya TMT blame me. AO called CQ on 5 every night every 10 minutes for I donya TMT know how long, A he continued. AO then one night, as I turned around after my second or third CQ, I heard someone calling me. I was so shaky going back I almost pulled the key off the table. The signal signed MA1A but I never gave it a thought. A it was someone I could work, and that was good enough for me. I gave him a signal report and signed over. He did not TMT come back. I was frantic. Here he was, the first station ATMD ever raised, and I lost him. Then, fully 7 or 8 minutes later, I ran across his signal acknowledging my report and telling me I was very weak. He was not TMT weak at all, and before we were through he had told me how to build a decent antenna, although I had a little trouble at times understanding his English. It was a screwy kind of sky wire, like nothing in the books then or now. We made a schedule for the next night, and during the day I built the antenna. When schedule time came I called with a lot of confidence, but no answer. Then, after a lapse of about 7 or 8 minutes I heard him. This time, we chewed the fat for 5 hours, always with a delay in his comeback. What he told me that night left me in a daze. He said he was on Mars. They had heard me calling QC every night, and practicing the code in between, and they had managed to dope out the language from what I had sent all those months. It RTMS true I had been amusing myself by practicing the code on the air sending a page at a time from Uxter or Scientific Americana, but I did not TMT see how they could figure out the whole language from that. It turned out that they had na TMT really, but after a few weeks of schedules and a lot of questions MA1A knew the language as well as I did. From the first he told me that if I mentioned this to anyone else our schedule would stop, so I did na TMT tell a soul. I kept looking for an angle. All I could figure was a big leg pulling deal, so I rode along. AO when was all this, AA I asked. AO, it started back in the 2080MS. A Mike replied. AO since then we at MV moved higher in frequency, and here TMS told me how to build in secrecy systems so no one will ever get onto us. I can't TMT tell you the details, but we never stay on the same frequency long enough for anyone to spot us. We swish through the 2 meter band hundreds of times an hour, but nothing would ever tag us except a TV receiver in that range. AO and you at MV been keeping this schedule ever since? A I asked. AO that and a few more. When we first started, MA1A asked a lot of questions, and I noticed that when I told him about our aeroplanes and submarines and guns he was not TMT much interested. But since the war one have to go through all the magazines and papers for any dope on jet planes and rockets and atomic energy, because he asks a lot of questions about what we ATMA doing with them. Ever since he told me how to build a real antenna and a good station, we at MV had a solid circuit. He and his friends are smart ones, all right. The things they tell me always work, and it RTMS all stuff that has na TMT been in Axter or even the I.R.E. proceedings. as he helped me improve my rig. He started hooking me up with some of the other planets. This is really getting thick, I thought. Ao, apparently these guys or things on Mars taught the Earth language, at least my version of it, to the other planets, and told how to get in touch with me. I figured the whole thing might be a hoax, so I read up on astronomy and done if everything did not TMT check. Our dates were made only for times the other planets were visible on this side of the world, and the delay time always checked out on the button. The toughest place to get to was Jupiter, and I finally had to raise my peak power to 200 kilowatts before I could get through, although EATMD been hearing them for weeks. A, what do you mean, AE peak power? I asked. Ao, are you using pulse? Ao, sure, A Mike replied. Ao, TMS the only way I can get through and not have tubes that would look suspicious, just in case the law ever comes around. I put that in back in 1932, when I first worked Venus. Anyway, TMS part of our secrecy system. Ao, how about phone? Didn't TMT you try it so you can hear what their voices sound like? Ao suggested it, A said Mike. Ao, but they said ano.atm code was good enough for all they needed, they claimed. I figured they didn't TMT want to tip me off, in case they don't TMT have voices and would have to create artificial ones. It sounded reasonable enough, but I wasn't TMT buying any until I saw it. Just then Mike turned off the highway onto a dirt road, and we finally ended up in a small house. In the moonlight I could see a lot of masts. Ao, my antenna is made of wires strung from those poles, A Mike explained. Ao changed the directivity by phasing from the shack, and I explained to the few hams who have wandered by that TMS an experimental 40-meter beam. EATMM never on 40, they don't TMT hear me, and they lose interest. A, inside the shack the stuff looked real good. I did not TMT see anything that looked like unusual techniques, though, and I wondered out loud about the secret stuff. Mike smiled and explained that the place had to look something like a ham station or the secret gear was hidden away and I was wasting my time snooping. Ao, when at TMS your next date? A, I asked. Ao, tomorrow night, A Mike replied. Ao, but we can interrogate the band if you want, just in case some Ionia TMS on. A, he warmed up the rig a few minutes and then threw a switch. The lights dimmed a bit and I heard a few transformers groan. A pip appeared on the panoramic and Mike centered it. He sat down at the table and worked the guy on the bug. The call was MM1F, but I was not TMT impressed, because a lot of jokers with queer calls have sucked me in during the past decade or two, and I believe them when I get a QSL. Mike and MM1F exchanged reports and then chewed the fat about an ionosphere storm that was due, working fast break in. MM1F could have been a ZL for all the difference it would have made in the procedure. I had to admire his fist, though it sounded just like tape. Then it dawned on me that the whole thing was a rib. There was no delay in the comeback. Some of the local boys must have planned the whole thing to make a monkey out of the New Englander, but the op at the other end had forgotten to allow some lag time. Pretty good, I thought, but they slipped up after all the elaborate build-up. EATMLL just play along. Mike signed off, there were no more pips on the screen, and he shut down and made a pot of coffee. We chewed about receiver sensitivity, pulse techniques, beam antennas, and the usual. I had to hand it to him, he knew all the answers. Occasionally I'd get around to his rig, but he would brush me off on the tough questions with the excuse that they involved the secret stuff. On the way back to the hotel it was much the same deal, but he did give me a few ideas. EATMM going to try. That one about compound feedback has possibilities. Mike made me promise I would not TMT tell a soul about his work, declined a nightcap, and then I gave him the business. Ao, by the way, Mike, I asked, Aue, was not TMT there any delay on that planet MM1F you worked? Ao, there was no planet, A Mike replied. Ao, that was a mobile station, a spaceship practically in our atmosphere. There are quite a few around these days, scouting the Earth. Look me up when we're out this way again. Hey, he drove off before I had a chance to tell him I had the whole thing figured. But have I? I just read about two airline pilots who have seen the darn things. There are several things about my Kia TMS experience that tick in with our own experiments.